in our daily life. And we think that it's important that you and I as Christians have lives that manifest the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way you're going to manifest Him is by spending time in His presence, whether it's in His Word or whether it's in fellowship with His people, whether it's in being service to others, whatever it might be that manifests the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we'd like to talk about this morning is that in connection with Thanksgiving. It's very important, I think, that you and I learn to be thankful for the things that God does for us. So often, we are not thankful. I mean, we may feel like we're thankful, but we don't utter the thanksgiving. That's what I meant to say. And there's value in that. There's value in letting the Lord know that you are thankful for what He's done for you. I caught myself the other day, I asked the Lord for some little thing. I had misplaced something, I asked the Lord to help me find it. And immediately I did find it. And I forgot to say thanks. And you know, it's a good thing when you ask the Lord for something to say thanks. And I think, just by way of saying that, I think it's always good to ask the Lord for everything, for every little thing. Asking for the parking places, asking for the lost keys, asking for the papers you've misplaced, asking about everything. Share everything with the Lord, because what it does is it puts you in the presence of the Lord. See, every time you're talking to Him, you're in His presence. When you're in the presence of the Lord, you can't get into trouble, because you wouldn't get Him into trouble. You see, if you get into trouble, you're out of His presence. He wouldn't let you get into trouble. You see, so it's a good idea to commit things to the Lord. Anyway, let me read you these verses with that in mind. And it shall be when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possesses it, and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and thou shalt put it in a basket, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place His name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God, that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto my fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand, and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, A Syrian ready to perish was my father, and he went down into Egypt, and sojourned there with a few, and became there a nation great and mighty and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us, and afflicted us, and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice, and looked on our affliction, and our labor, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and with an outstretched arm, and with great terribleness, and with signs and with wonders. And He hath brought us into this place, and hath given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which thou, O Lord, hast given me, and thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and worship before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee, and unto thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. See, here you see the law of the offering of the first fruits. This is what they were supposed to do. They were to give thanksgiving. And we're told in Philippians 4, 6 and 7, we're told that in everything give thanks, aren't we? We're said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And I want you to notice when it was that they were to be thankful. They were to be thankful and present the first fruits when they came into the land. It was when the hand of the Lord had conducted his people into the land of the promise that the fruits of the land could be presented. You see, it's obvious that they couldn't give the fruits of the land before they were in the land. They couldn't give the fruits of the land that they had produced if they weren't in the land as yet. And you see, the point of that is that you and I cannot give of the first fruits unless we're in the land. What is the land of promise for you and I? It's salvation. Until we know Christ as our own personal Savior, there's no way that we can worship Him. Worship is for Christians. Until we've come into the land, we can't bring the first fruits. It's what God gives us that we bring to offer to Him. We have nothing of ourselves. The only thing that you and I have of ourselves are the thoughts and intents of our hearts. Everything else belongs to God. And if we're going to bring blessing to God, we have to bring the blessing that God has given us. And so you have to be into the land. It says, I want you to notice, it says, when thou art come. When thou art come. In the third verse it says, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. Not coming or hoping to come, but when thou art come. And you and I, as we know Christ as our personal Savior, we can come into His presence and we know that we have things to give because God has given them to us. And so we come and we offer unto Him and we can truly be thankful. First of all, for our salvation that saves us from our sins. And secondly, for the salvation that saves us from the power of sin. Day by day, we're able to live for the Lord because of the salvation that He gives. If you're here today and you've never put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you have not come into the land. You cannot be thankful as we're talking about today. It's not possible. It's not whether it's good or bad. It's not whether you want to or don't want to. You simply cannot be thankful in that way unless you've come into the land. Only the one who's put their trust in Christ as their Savior can truly be thankful. And so when they came into the land, their response was to be thankful for what God had done for them. And so too should it be us. We should ever be thankful for what God has done for us and for what God is doing for us, as we'll see. Now, I want you to notice that they were to take of the first fruits of all the earth. They were to bring the best to the Lord. And you and I are to bring the best to the Lord. A friend of mine a while back was telling me that how during the Depression he lived on a farm. We were talking about the experiences of life and we were talking about different things, and he was mentioned that they never realized that they were poor because they lived on a farm during the Depression. Those were very hard times, as the older people remember. The younger people don't remember. You've heard about the Depression maybe, but you don't remember. But the Depression in the United States was so bad that people used to hitchhike this way. It didn't matter which direction you went. It was bad everywhere. So they just got along as best they could. And he said that on the farm, they never realized how poor they were, because his mother always kept the best fruits for them. Said the people in the city, they didn't know the difference anyway. She knew which was the best. She was raising them, and so she kept the best for herself. And that's what the Lord says you and I are to do here. We're to bring the best. We're to bring the first fruits. They were to put them in a basket, and they were to take them to the place where God had put His name. They were to take them to the place where God was. And, of course, the reason for that was that God wanted them to recognize who it was that had brought them to the land and who it was that gave them the blessings. And you and I need to remember, you know, we say sometimes when we're successful in business, we say what a great job we've done. But, you see, we wouldn't be able to do any of that without the blessing of the Lord. You wouldn't be able to do any of it, whether you're saved or unsaved. You wouldn't be able to do it without God's blessing. God has given you this tremendous body with all the intelligence that goes with it, And you're able to do those things because God has blessed us. And you know, so often we blame God for the problems, but we seldom thank Him for the blessings. But we should never forget that all of our blessings come from God. The sun, the rain, all of these things come from God. The things that we take for granted so often, they come from God. I remember a few years ago, 5 or 6 years ago now, I went to a leadership conference on the coast, and 3 days before, I'd been in an accident, the only accident I've ever been, but my car was total, and I was spun around 2 or 3 times, and when I was mentioning this to this brother, who's asked me why I was walking so funny as I was explaining to him because of the bruises and so forth, and he said, well, you know, I'm really sorry you had that accident, but he said, you were lucky you weren't hurt more. And I said, well, you just made 2 mistakes in that statement. First of all, I didn't have any accident. You see, Christians don't have accidents. They have happenings. The Lord doesn't allow anything to come into your life apart from His will. So it isn't an accident. It's an happening, right? It may seem like an accident the way the world describes it, but for you and I, it isn't. And secondly, I wasn't lucky. I was blessed, right? And you and I need to remember that all of these things that happen in our life happen because God allows them. And they happen with a purpose. Now, thirdly, I want you to note that they were not just to go in and drop the basket. They were to profess that the Lord had kept His promises. You see, you have to remember that when the Israelites came into the land of Canaan, the cities were already there. The farms were already there. All of the milk and honey like God had promised was already there. Now they had to fight for it. They had to fight the Amalekites and the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites or all of the rest of them. They had to fight all of these, right, to possess it. But they were all there. God had promised them a land with all those things, and when they went there, all those things were there. And so they had to remember to thank God for what? For keeping His promises. You see, sometimes we're not thankful to God because we don't think God keeps his promises to us. You see, sometimes we pray to the Lord and we say, would you give me this? And then we don't get it. And we say, well, the Lord doesn't answer prayer. One lady, her husband said the problem with Mabel, she doesn't think no is an answer. You see, sometimes God says no. But God always answers the prayer. He always answers the prayer. But you see, sometimes we don't get it because we don't meet the conditions of prayer. Remember what the Lord says in John 15:7, abide in me, and I will abide in you, you know, and let my words abide in you, He says. And then He says, ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. But you see, you gotta abide in Him. You gotta stay put in Christ. You see, I did that with my own children. They would say, Dad, would you do this for me? And I said, the way you've been in this week, I wouldn't do anything for you the way you've been this week. See, I expect my children to show some respect if they want blessing from me. And God expects the same of us. If you want to get the blessing from God, if you abide in God's will, when they're operating according to the character of the home, as my wife and I sought to set it, I want to give them blessing. And God wants to give you blessing. But when you're operating outside of that, God is not so willing to do it. And so we often think God doesn't answer, but we need to remember that God does keep His promises. God doesn't break any promise. And if you don't get an answer, it's because of some reason that you could find in the Scripture. God keeps His promises. So now in our text, I want to also mention that there are 3 things which might be true, or perhaps should be true of a Christian, according to our text here. The first thing, that thanksgiving starts with confession. We, of course, are not talking about confession of sins, but confession. It says that we're to profess that God, we're to confess the fact that God is good and that He keeps His promises. As we read to you from that 3rd verse, I profess that this day, unto the Lord thy God that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. So you and I are to confess that God is good. You know what a help that would be in winning souls to Christ? If you and I were constantly confessing what God is, how good God is to us, instead of complaining about the little problems we've had. Do you know what an impression that would make on people? If you and I were constantly confessing, picking out the things that God has done for us and confessing those things. And God said that's what they were to do. They were to confess. You see, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. He doesn't say for everything. When I was laying in the hospital, most of you know, I just, a while back, a few months ago, 3-4 months ago, I had an operation for a triple bypass. And when I was laying in the hospital, I couldn't talk, the tubes are all in your mouth and so forth, I honestly was thankful to the Lord. But I have to tell you, I wasn't thankful for the pain I was suffering. I wasn't thankful for the discomfort I was having. God doesn't say to be thankful for everything, but he says to be thankful in everything. And I think you and I need to realize that nothing comes into our life apart from his will. And so we confess, in every case, we can confess that God is good. We can confess that. And we need to know, need to do this for many reasons. One of the reasons we need to do it is for our own joy. We need to do it for our own peace. We need to do it for our own patience. We need to do it for our own love. These are necessities for you and I that we confess that our Lord is good. The story is told of a man who decided to sell his house over in the States. And he called a real estate agent in. And the real estate agent took the listing on the house, and then the real estate agent said, I'll see you in a day or two, and he wrote up a nice ad, and he came back and said, I'll read this ad, see if it meets with your approval. And he read the ad describing the house, and the owner said, read that to me again. And he read it again. The fellow said, I'm not going to sell this house. He said, all my life I've been looking for a house just like the one you describe. So why should I sell it? And you see, many times in our life, we think it'd be better if we had this, or it'd be better if we had that. Like the man who in his dream went to heaven, and he met the Lord. And the Lord said, how can I help you? And he said, well, you know, this cross that you've given me to bear, it's so heavy I can't bear it. Could I have a different cross to bear? And the Lord took him into a room where there were a whole lot of crosses, big ones and odd-shaped ones and all kinds of crosses. He said, just pick out the one you want. And the man walked around. He looked at all these crosses. And finally, over in the corner, he saw one little tiny cross. He said to the Lord, I'd like to have that one. He said, that's the one you brought in. You see, many times, we're not thankful for what we have. We think that it should be better. But God is treating us as his children. And he's given us that which is best. So our thanksgiving should start with confession. And then secondly, for true thanksgiving after confession, there has to be testimony. And we read you his testimony as he was to give it here. It says, and thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to perish was my father, and so forth. And he talks about down in Egypt, when the children of Israel was set free down in Egypt. And you see, that was his testimony. A Syrian ready to perish, it's believed he was speaking of Jacob. Jacob was down there when Joseph brought him down, and then they got into all of this problem. And of course, he's talking 400 years. This is 400 years after the death of Jacob. But you see, in his testimony, he goes back to the beginning. He speaks of a place in which grace had found him. Hard bondage, he says, in the land of Egypt, making bricks under the whips of Pharaoh's taskmaster. And then it says in verse 7, but he cried unto the Lord, and you can read that cry in Ephesians 3, or in Exodus 3, and the Lord says, in the last verse of, or the ninth verse of that portion in Exodus 3, he says, and he heard their cry. He heard their cry. And the nice thing to know as a saint of God is God always hears your cry. He always hears your cry. You may not think he hears, but he always hears. And as we know, God is in grace delivered. And now he said, now they're to say, I am come into the country which the Lord sware unto my fathers for to give us. I wonder, what about you and I, dear one? Have we had a God that's been faithful to us? Has God been faithful to us in his promise? Did he promise to save us? And when we came to him and asked for his salvation, did he do it? Did God keep his promise? Yes. Does God keep his promise always? Does he care for us day by day? Yes, he does. God always keeps his promises, and so you and I can come. And besides our salvation, we need to remember all of the things that he does from us day to day. See, I don't know about you, but I like to hear my children tell me that I'm a good guy. You know, it may not be true, all of it, you know, but I like to hear my children. Let me just read to you what my son said to me some years ago. He wrote me this at Father's Day. Here's what he said. Just wanted to take a minute here to enclose a note, wishing you a very happy Father's Day. I was just thinking how that the 4th of July and Labor Days are all great days, but nothing compared to a day that reminds you of a specific person. And I'm especially thankful that I am can be reminded of a father who thought of his children and not of himself. I'm thankful too, Dad, that your adherence to what God designed a father to be was that which gave me my earliest and ever continuing impressions of what a wondrous thing it is to have a heavenly Father. I know that he is pleased with your example to us of that relationship which he has with his children. Now, I don't know that I deserve those things, but I can tell you it was a joy to have him say them. And can you imagine the heavenly Father who does truly give you everything that's right, everything that's for your best? He loves to hear you say. He loves to hear you come and testify of what he has done to you. You know that as we looked at that, do you remember what the testimony was? The testimony was a history, wasn't it? He went all the way back to the beginning. And I can do that, too. I can go back to my grandmother in Holland and my great-grandmother here in the States, here in the Bahamas, and my grandparents here in the Bahamas. And I can tell you about my father who left Holland when he was 17 and came to the States unsaved. And he was saved here in the States. And he was asked to give his testimony one night at a street meeting. And he gave his testimony, and one of the elders came up to him, as he spoke very broken Dutch in those days, very broken English because of his Dutch background. And he said, if I were you, I'd never speak again. That's the last thing you should tell a Dutchman. Don't do it. Because my father then set out to be used of the Lord. And as a result, he came to the Bahamas. Never gonna get married. He'd made up his mind with my Uncle Charlie, they'd never get married for the sake of the gospel. Landed in Marsh Harbor to meet my Uncle Rob to go into the work, and he saw my mother. Fell in love. Before he got off the boat, he fell in love with my mother. And as a result of that marriage, I was born into the family after the hurricane. You know, in the 26th hurricane, they lost everything, and they lost one baby, a little girl. I was born the next year. I've often said I'm the booby prize. They said she was a perfect child, you see, and I was much less than that. So anyway, I came along, and as a result of that, I was raised in that family, you see. And as a result, I came to know the Lord. And all of us have a testimony, can't we? We can recant what a blessing. We look back over the years. We can look back over the fact that we were born in an unsaved family, and what a blessing it was to hear the gospel and so forth.
And so we come and we confess. We give our testimony. And then after the confession and after the testimony, then we should give, thirdly, an offering. And verse 10 says, "And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which thou, O Lord, hast given me. And thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God and worship before the Lord thy God." You notice it says, "I bring you the first fruits which thou gave me." Not which I grew, but which thou gave me. The story is told of a farmer who was taking a preacher over of a farm that he'd bought, a preacher friend of his. And this farm had been terribly run down when he brought it, when he bought it. He bought it very cheap because it was in such terrible shape. And through much hard work, he turned it into a showplace of farms in the area. And he was taking the preacher and he was showing him, "This is the way this barn was, and look at it now, and this is the way the silo was, and look at it now," and so forth. And every time he'd do that, this preacher would say, "Praise the Lord." Finally got to be too much for the farmer. He said, "Remember, Pastor, you see, should have seen this place when the Lord had it all by himself." Well, you see, that may be true. But all of the blessings that were there were because the Lord allowed them and blessed him, right? The rain made the crops to grow and the strength he had and so forth. And someone has wisely said that thanksgiving without an offering is not thanksgiving at all. They gave the first fruits, as we said. They gave the best. How often I look at my life, and perhaps you look at yours, and I think my thankfulness is not the best. Oftentimes my thankfulness is just words. They're not deeds. I just say things, but they have no real meaning. And it reminded me of the story of the girl who wrote a letter of thanks to her boyfriend. She said, "Thank you for the birthday card with the enclosed check for 1,000 kisses. Your brother Bill came by and cashed it for me today." You see? You see, those kind of gifts don't mean anything. And you can't be very thankful. But you see, God doesn't give those kind of gifts. God gives real gifts. God gives joy and peace and satisfaction. You know, the world knows nothing about joy. If you're unsaved, you can't possibly know what joy is. It's only as a Christian you know what joy is. You can know what thrills are. You can know what excitement is, but you can't know what joy is. I've illustrated it concerning my children years ago when we were in Seattle. It had the World's Fair there, and after the World's Fair, they made it into a big park for the people there in the city. It's called Seattle Center. Still has a lot of rides like you have at Disney World and so forth. And we'd go there occasionally, and my children would say, "You know, Daddy, I want to take a ride on that. Would you let us ride?" I said, "Okay, but you can only take one ride. Any ride you want, but only one ride." So they'd pick out a ride and they'd get off on the ride and their feet wouldn't hardly touch the ground and they would be over there saying, "Daddy, can we go again?" And I said, "Yes, you can go again if you tell me this. How did it feel to ride in that ride?" And they can't tell you. You can't either. You can say it was a thrill. What does that mean? It was great. What does that mean? But you can't explain it because the thrills of this world are passing. You have them and they're all gone. But the joy of knowing that you're a child of God, the joy of knowing the peace that comes. God says, "Peace I give unto you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You see, you and I should be prepared to give to him. You remember the story of the little boy, and he had a dog. His name was Fido, and he loved little Fido. And one day he picked up the piece of meat that they'd given him to eat, and he was handing it to Fido, and his father caught him and said, "Put that back on your plate and eat that." He said, we'll give Fido what we pick up after supper. And after supper, he took a bowl of what was left to Fido. He said, Fido, here's what I have for you. He said, I wanted to give you an offering, but all I have is a collection. And you see, the thing is that you and I should want to give. You remember the Israelites, they were to give what? They were to give of the tithes and the offerings. What are the tithes? That's what they were commanded to give. That's what they were obligated to give. The offerings are those things that they gave out of hearts pleasing or pleased with what God had done for them. And so you and I, we need to bring an offering to Him for thanksgiving. You see, God does everything that's right. And if you want to be thankful to somebody who does everything that's right for you, what would you give to that person? If you could give them the very best that you could give, what would you give? And I would suggest to you that you give yourself. That's what Brother Graylin was speaking about on Friday night, wasn't he? That's what Romans 12, 1 and 2 says. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to the things of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want you to notice that those are both passive words. Be not conformed, be transformed. God is saying, if you will not yield your will to me, if you will not yield your will so I can conform you, then the world will transform to itself. And that's exactly what happens. And that's why you and I have to do as they did. With thanksgiving, we have to come and we have to confess and we have to give our testimony and then we have to give an offering unto Him. This is what's needed today, it seems to me, for revival in the hearts of each of God's people. You know, you see a sign sometimes over in the States in front of a church and says we're going to have a revival starting on Tuesday. How can you have a revival starting on Tuesday? See, they're talking about they're going to have an evangelistic campaign to win souls to Christ. You can't revive a dead man. Just slap him about the head, jump up and down his chest. It doesn't make any difference. You can't revive a dead man. But you can revive a saint of God. Revival is for saints of God. We don't need new life. We have new life. But we need to have it motivated to be thankful and useful to the Lord. And may God bless these thoughts to your hearts. And may you and I realize the value in our lives. How very valuable it is to be thankful. To be thankful to God. It's a tremendous help to you personally. You'll be amazed if you teach yourself the habit of being thankful in everything. What a blessing it'll be to your heart. How it'll comfort and encourage and give peace to your heart. And it'll be a blessing to others. As they look at you, they'll say, there's something that I want. You're complaining all the time. People say, if that's what it means to be a Christian, I don't want to be a Christian. He's got more trouble than I got. But if you're thankful for all that God has done for you, it'll be a blessing. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the privilege of gathering in Thy presence. We thank Thee for the truths that we find in Thy precious Word. We thank Thee that we have been loved with an everlasting love. It was not an afterthought. It was not as we would say, a gut reaction that Thou suddenly said Thou would be a blessing to us. But it was before the foundation of the world that Thou didst love us. And Thou didst decide that Thou would send Thy Son to be our Savior. In great love, He would come and die at Calvary's cross for us. We pray, our God, that we may enter into the wonder of it all. There won't be one here who's never put their trust in Christ. May they realize that they are lacking something. They're lacking everything for eternity if they do not turn to the one who can know us life eternal. We pray that thou would bless in each of these things as we ask your giving thanks. It is worthy and precious.